to curated advice on better living. Get different perspectives on personal development, like healthy habits, mindset, relationships, functional movement, and biohacking. If you're looking to improve your life, but you're overwhelmed by the endless sea of self-help content, you've found your new home. We'll talk to all sorts of people from other cultures, accessing different philosophies, real people's stories, and the lessons they've learned along the way. This is the Curated Advice on Better Living podcast. And now your host, Khaled Sultan.
You were in what, Mellow FM,
yes.
Monster. How many stations have you worked in?
In the Philippines, three radio stations. So there was Monster Radio RX 93.1 when I was still a college student, where I first dabbled in radio. I had my very first kind of training for radio. And then we have Mellow 94.7. Again, it's a pop station. That's where I spent nearly a decade working for the company. And then maybe a few months before I flew to Qatar to finally live here with my husband, because he works here, I was with Wave 89.1, which is an urban radio station. So mostly hip-hop and R&B and urban music. So a little bit of pop there, but mostly you've got, you know, my colleagues over at Wave were like the R&B guys, the hip-hop, you know, guys who would talk, hey, yo, yo, what's up? You're listening to Wave 89.1 urban radio station, yo.
Is that where they would play, what's that song?
What?
Bebot?
Yes.
Filipino. Oh,
no,
Filipino.
No, but Bebot is a pop song.
But
right?
It does have a bit of like
a little bit of urban. Urban, yeah. Yes, precisely.
Filipinos love that song.
I am, right? Of course. We totally relate. So,
yeah.
You know, we dig it.
You know what? Like, we've known each other for a little while.
Yeah, we have.
And I don't know why I haven't asked you this, or maybe I've asked you this and I forgot. But yeah, we're here with DJ Chloe. She's the host of a really popular morning show. So I wanted to know, when did you get started in radio and what was that like?
It's a long time ago. Are you ready for this?
Back,
man. All right. Back in the day. In the years of yore. No, but seriously, I started radio when I was still in college. Long time ago, 1997. I was barely 17 at the time. And I got hooked on radio mainly because I started out as a radio listener. When I was in college, we didn't have cell phones. We didn't have devices. When it's going to be a late night, when you want to burn the midnight oil and just go, you know, pour over your books and study, the only thing that's going to keep you company that's like just you hear in the background would be radio. So I would be sitting next to the radio while I study. And somehow it allows me to absorb whatever I'm studying better. It became a tool for me to learn faster or read faster or something like that. So it became a favorite of mine, my constant companion whenever I study. And somehow that sparked an interest in me to try to just maybe, you know, I thought to myself, hey, maybe I can do this. And so I did. Yeah, it was 1997. Finally, I auditioned for what then was called Radio One. It was a student-oriented radio program that just, you know, it's like a casting call. Like, hey, you know what? On the radio, you'd hear the ads saying, hey, if you're in college, university, it doesn't matter what course you're taking up, come and try radio if you feel you're meant to do it. So I went in like unassumingly, not knowing like what they're going to ask me to do. Basically, they handed me a piece of paper, read it. I introduced myself with this huge ass mic in front of me. It was the first time I've ever done that. And days later, they called me back and said, hey, you're through. We want you to join this org where, you know, we train radio DJ wannabes. That's how it started for me. I was 16, 17 at that time.
Wow. I mean, that's definitely an early start.
It is.
I feel like for most people, they don't know, even if they wanted to pursue a career in radio, they wouldn't know how to get started. Like, do you need to study to be in radio? Do you need to take voice classes? Or is it like you're naturally gifted?
No, I feel like I had a certain level of being adept to it, but I naturally like to talk to people. Like you said earlier, even before we started, that's you, Chloe. You like to network.
That's true. That's
and
true.
Even as a kid, yo, I mean, like, I like to make friends. And I thought I was a weird kid who just wants to make friends all the time. But I've always been like that. And the way to do that is just to approach people, walk up to them and start a conversation. So I thought, if this is what radio is going to be like, then boom, sign me up. As far as learning the theories, and I in university, I took up broadcasting communication. So it was that part, it was quite natural for me to go towards that direction.
So it's the same field you're in?
Yes.
Okay.
So I guess it was just a thing that I did because I knew it was going to fulfill my love. love for media, for radio, and stuff like that.
The radio, the training process.
Yeah.
You know, what was that like? Was it, you know, very structured? Oof. Or were you shadowing someone? Because, you know, I gotta say, when we were working together, yeah, I learned a lot from you, and it's you were willing to share knowledge, and you know, I'd have questions about the mixer, about this.
Like in between songs, yo, we talk about, can I say shit?
You can say anything you want. This is we independent, about- baby.
Yeah. See, sometimes I forget because I'm very traditional radio.
Yeah.
We talk about stuff and shit, and like life in general, anything under the sun. Khaled and I'm like, he just pops in, and I totally appreciate that because, you know, when you're in the studio for like 3 hours, 2 hours, 3 hours, you kind of feel like you're in a cave. It gets to that point unless, you know, you get a reaction from your listener or somebody or colleague comes in and say hi and says hi, then that's, oh, okay. So I'm not alone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's somehow feels like that. But going back to your question being the training, man, it was ruthless back in my day. For some reason, when I was starting out in radio like decades ago, my then mentors, I'm not saying everyone, but some of them, treated radio as if it was a sorority or a fraternity that you have to be hazed into.
Oh, wow.
Like it's rude. I mean, it's what word did I pick? Ruthless, right?
Ruthless,
it was savage.
Yeah, yeah.
Like they would put you on the spot, like put you in a situation or scenario wherein you have to be like quick on your feet. Yeah. Am I using that term correctly?
Well, I mean, that's, yeah, that's
like, you have to like think quickly.
That's radio because you're alive.
Yes, exactly. So you got to be focused. You got to be like alert. You're a kid. You know what I mean?
You know,
just starting out. You look forward to being mentored by someone who has compassion and has what is the word I'm looking for? Who could empathize and would, you know, make you feel like you could actually grow in this learning environment. But no, there were times when they would, I got put on the spot maybe several times. Good thing, you know, being just the person that I am, I've thought about that ahead of time. So I practiced at home even before I got to that point. But I don't feel like it's the most desirable approach to learning, you know, or...
Definitely. I mean, it's kind of like the method where, let's say you want to learn swimming as a child. And this happened to me. My mom took me to a swimming school.
Yeah.
And the instructor just, you know, grabbed me,
and threw me into the
water. And I was
pretty
much drowning.
Precisely. Would you want to go back next day and learn how to swim?
No, I mean, the thing is they put you off. I mean, it breaks... That's a way to break someone's confidence.
I guess
so. But so what's like an example of a scenario that you remember where they put you on the spot and you're like, oh shit.
They'd say something that is borderline offensive. I mean, so here you are, you're trying to like rack your brains for a really nice, how are you going to bounce from that conversation? I can't remember one statement, but there would be times when you feel like you're being put on the spot and you have to think quickly. Another time was when I was already trying to manage my show, maybe first, or it was my second time around it back then. My trainer would be right here over my shoulder, sort of breathing down my neck.
Oh, I hate that.
Like, you know, how you put your fader up this way and are you putting it at the right
micromanaging.
Yeah. And I hate that.
Same.
I mean, you know what I mean? So train me well and then let me go. That's you know, that's just me.
Yeah.
Or they would like scatter stuff in front of you while you're doing your ad lib on air. I mean, it's ridiculous.
How helpful. The thing is, like, the way I see it is, okay, I get it. Things do happen on air and you need to be, you know, quick on your feet and you need to know how to react. And if you make a mistake, you know, you have to bounce back from that. So I think that's one thing that radio hosts are good at.
Mm.
But at the same time, how helpful is it? Like, how helpful are their tactics? You know, scattering things around.
Precisely.
Or offensive.
It ever happen in real life?
Yeah.
Hardly, I would say.
So what station did you start out with?
It was Monster Radio, RX93.1.
Okay. In Manila?
In Manila. It was one of the top rating radio stations at the time. And it was all English. I mean, it's just a preference that they had. I joined them, back in 1997.
Radio is huge in the Philippines. A lot of people don't know that.
Oh, it's huge business.
Yeah.
It is, for sure. And there's something to it. And I remember telling you about this. You know what, Khaled? When you go to Manila and you want to pursue radio, dude, you'd be the perfect candidate for it. Because I said you have the looks. looks, yeah. you have the voice, you have the talent, and you have the training and all that.
I'm open
Men,
to it.
Right? I mean, like, oh, they're going to eat you up. Because it truly is. It truly is a great place to start radio. Because, you know, when you start young, you're the hottest thing around.
Yeah.
And as you go, as they see your potential, they also explore other venues, or rather other avenues for you to be good at. So you never know, maybe soon you'd end up in publishing or presenting live events, voice over, and TV eventually. That did happen to a lot of my colleagues from other radio stations.
Well, I mean, going back to that point that you're making, radio is huge in the Philippines and there's a culture of radio.
Mm.
People enjoy radio. Do you know why that is?
Well, radio is highly influential. Of the three traditional, the three legs to a tripod kind of thing in tri-media, of course, you've got print, TV, and radio.
Right.
I think radio is highly influential. I think it also has that engaging mechanism to it. Engaging in the sense that you also get an instant reply. I mean, you're a listener, but then again, if you want to be a part of the conversation, you can chime in, call them, text them, send them a message on socials. And when these things, when your messages get read, you know that you're a part of something. It's not just when you're watching TV. It's very one way.
Yeah, it's a lot more engaging.
Engaging and accessible, right?
You can request songs, you know, between the radio host and the listener.
Precisely.
There's a connection, and oftentimes the listener gets to know you and your personality, and then you know the regular listeners and the people that message regularly, and it becomes like a relationship.
Yes, precisely. Like it's you have an audience out there, but your audience can also reach you, can also get to you. So more than anything, it's the fastest way to create a fan base out of the three components of your tri-media.
So in total, how long have you been in radio?
A little less than 2 decades.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. I think I'd be short by 3-4 years, and it'll be my 20 years in radio. I gotta say, being in the industry, or, you know, pursuing radio as a profession, has really opened a lot of doors for me. And looking back, I could never imagine how my life would have been if it were not for radio. I've met a lot of really great, amazing people that I got to interview, publishers, authors, artists, singers, songwriters, people that I would never imagine I would have access to or would have spoken to if it were not for my job. And to me, that already is a blessing. Because, like, how many times in a week would you say that, hey, I spoke to this person and this person inspired me, has touched a part of me that, whoa, okay, something like that. Or what an inspiring life story that I'm just on the other side listening to. So I'm really grateful for that.
I mean, speaking of recorded interviews, you do a podcast for the Podcast Network of Asia.
Yes, I do.
It's in Tagalog.
Yes, it had to be. Mainly, we cater to overseas Filipino workers. That was the whole objective of it, to come up with a podcast that would talk about the life and stories and experiences of Filipinos working abroad or living abroad and sharing their experiences. You would imagine the diaspora, like wherever they are in the world, then they would come to this podcast and you know, just have a really nice time listening to the conversations. It's in Taglish, actually, Tagalog English, depending on our guest or subject. There's many facets to what we talk about in there.
What's one of your most like memorable interviews or something that you heard that kind of left you feeling, wow, that's interesting. I learned something. I'm sure you learn something new every time.
Yeah.
But what's something that's really stood with you talking to these expats and them discussing their experiences abroad?
It's hard to choose. I'm going to be quite indecisive with just one. Oh, because we have an upcoming elections in the Philippines, which is next year.
Right. So isn't that the one where someone's son is getting nominated and someone's relative?
Yes. It's a political dynasty kind of thing that's going on. So it's such a circus. I mean, I'm saying this with love, but it's such a circus in the Philippines now, and I could hardly keep up. Even if I wanted to speak freely about what's going on, I feel like I don't have enough information, so I'd rather not. But based off of the podcast that I recorded, I had the opportunity to speak with the chief of the Commission on Elections. Every time there's an election, he would be called to do his duty and to be the spokesperson, to be the ambassador, and to basically be the source of information and guide the population about what to do, what not to do. And
regarding the election?
Regarding the election. he's done a great job. And I feel like he's quite excellent in what he does. He spoke freely on the podcast, you know, even cussed maybe a couple of times.
That's what you want.
Depending on my producer, that's all up to them. But really, right. the intensity of our conversation was there. So I couldn't help it. He just couldn't help but, you know, cuss sometimes. But that's completely understandable.
What's the name of your podcast? I'm going to include, you know, for the listeners, the link to the podcast in the show notes.
It's called The Great Connections Podcast. It's on all streaming platforms.
So you're with a podcast network.
Mm.
I'm independent.
Yes.
I'm not with any network, so I have to do everything. But there's pros and cons to everything. So what do you feel like are the cons of being with a network and the pros?
Cons would be if it's a syndicated production. So it means that, of course, you'd have to work within the theme or within the slant of where, say, the brand wants to take you.
Okay.
But then if you're an independent talent or a podcaster, then you can do whatever the hell you want because it's truly your own podcast, right? So you're the think tank. You're practically everything. You'd be wearing a lot of hats.
Definitely.
You're a producer, writer, interviewer, person.
Yeah, distribution.
That's what you are.
I'm a one-trick
pony. What you're doing.
Pretty much. I'm, you know, arranging the interviews. I'm choosing, but the good thing is I get to talk to however I want. You know? Unlike if you're with a network or if you're on, you know, when I was on the radio, you can't just talk to whoever you want and you can't say whatever you want.
You got to adhere to the programming guidelines.
Yeah, to the guidelines. Yeah. And with this, I can talk to who I want, but then again, I have to edit, I have to distribute.
You're a one-man team. That's what you are.
I'm literally a one-man team.
Are you learning a lot?
Oh, definitely. I'm always learning. It's always a learning curve.
I'm happy that you're open to the whole experience. Yeah. And we've talked about this over number of times before. Like, Khalid, are you really starting your podcast?
Yes.
When is it starting? When?
I know I was talking about it for a long time.
Yeah, you were.
But I mean, I did it and I was serious about it. It was just a matter of, but the thing is, I was definitely struggling with the idea. I mean, I was going to do a solo show. Curated Advice on Better Living was going to be a solo show.
Yeah.
It was going to be me going through all the self-help information and simplifying it and making it fun, engaging, and easy to digest.
Yes.
But I love talking to people and I love interviews.
Yeah.
And it's different every time. So
This is the side of you that I guess being a new presenter with QBS did not exactly showcase. You would have been great for programming because I know you're quite a talker. I'm like, just put Khalid there and tell him to talk about anything at all and he'll just talk your ears off.
Yeah.
Kind of, because you have a side to that. You have that side of you. And I thought, if it's not radio, then what? And you thought, you know what, Chloe? I remember you telling me podcast. This is what it is for me. And it's great that you have your podcast going on now.
Definitely. And thank you. Because when you're with an institution, you don't have as much. I mean, it depends from place to place, but you don't have as much freedom as, for example, I was with QBS. I recently left QBS. But when I was with QBS, when I was in programs, I was enjoying it. I had guests of the week. I had me, you, and guests.
Yeah.
I had different. I was co-hosting. You know, I was enjoying that. But then when they decided to put me in news.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to go to news, but I ended up in news. And I learned a lot in news. You know, eventually. I was like, okay, I don't feel like I have creative freedom or ability to grow. So I moved on. And that's what's good about the podcast is we can sit over here on literally on the
carpet,
floor.
On the carpet.
I had.
And having drinks.
Exactly.
Like, okay, these are like coffee and whatever the hell that is.
Yeah.
What is that?
No, it's iced tea.
Okay.
It just looks fancy because it's from Monoprix.
Yeah.
But
And it's cool. I mean, don't you enjoy this?
That you were, I was trying to set up the chairs. Everything, you know, make everything so professional. You're like,
my gosh,
why don't we just sit down on the ground?
Yeah, sit down on the ground.
We got a bunch
of
pillows. Great. We might need to take another video though, because I look.
Actually, like I just got put on your pants.
These are short shorts
for my social media. Yeah. Okay.
No, I know you're still with the radio, so we got to keep it professional.
I know. No. We got to. Yeah.
You were talking about interview. You get to interview a lot of unique people.
Yeah.
What are some, you know, famous people, celebrities that you've spoken to?
I always look forward to celebrity interviews. Okay. I didn't get to interview him, but I was there in the booth back in 2008 when he went to Manila, Philippines. Neo, for instance.
Oh, okay. The R&B singer.
Neo, of course. Neo, the singer, performer, Because of You and, you know, I Hate That I Love You, Neo. I was literally inches away from him because it was a relatively small small booth at a time before it got, reconstructed.
This was which station?
This was for Mellow 94.7. Oh. At the time, it wasn't my show that's airing. So there were three other hosts, but they were nice enough to let us in the studio while they were interviewing Neo. And he was such a great guy, a real stand-up guy. And you would think that, I don't know, and this is me just being, I think I have that stereotype in my head. Like if you've got a black artist, you would think that they would speak a certain way. But Neo was so, he kind of sounded like
very intellectual, very articulate.
Yes, very articulate, very professor-like. I don't know. It's just the vibe that he gave throughout the interview. So that's one. There's another interview that I did with, her name is Maria Ozawa. Now, Maria Ozawa, she was really, really popular some years ago, especially when she started at the age of 18.
What is she, a singer or?
No, she's a porn star.
Oh.
She's a porn star. Used to be a porn star. And imagine this. It was me and my former colleague. Her name is Ingrid. So we shared about 4 years of being partners on air. You know, it's a pop station. And who would have thought that we would have a former porn star coming to our show to talk about her life as a porn star and how she transitioned to becoming an actress in the Philippines.
Oh, okay. Okay. So she's based in the Philippines or?
Yes.
She...
So she was big in Japan. That's where she started her career in the adult entertainment business.
They have a big porn scene in Japan.
Oh yeah. Not years of being a big porn star in Japan. So she did talk about her life, her beginnings. I was astounded by how incredible this woman is talking about her life in a way that was so, I guess, presentable for radio at the time. It, because again, this is me just having a stereotype in my head. And I thought it was going to be a difficult interview to like pull off, but she was really incredible. And it felt as if she took us through her journey that she said, you know what, in Japan, if you want to be popular, if you want to be famous, then this is one of the ways to do that. I just felt like I did what I had to do to become famous.
So she was after fame.
She was after fame. She joined like what could be the Voice version of adult entertainment or American Idol.
The Voice version of adult entertainment.
Kind of
I'm
like.
I'm just trying to visualize that.
Imagine the concept of, you know, like.
So they perform for a panel of judges.
Kind of like that. That's how I remember it. Wow. But I should be checking my sources now. But based on that interview, that's how I understood her beginnings in the business, in adult entertainment. And then, you know, how she said that actually catapulted her into fame and became an international household name in the adult entertainment. And so that's how eventually the deals came through. So that's when she decided, okay, I'm done with this. I just now want to be a full-time actress. And so offers came pouring from, I guess, the Philippines at the time. And she was a leading lady in a movie. That's why we interviewed her
at
the time.
Is she Japanese?
She's Japanese.
And how was she able to transition to acting in the Philippines? Like, did she know Tagalog?
Yeah, she had to learn. She had to learn a few. Of course, got acculturated. She started living her life in the Philippines. And then, you know, she just goes to places where she gets offers and all that.
Do you know if she's still based in the Philippines?
Actually, I wouldn't know. But I do follow her on Instagram.
Okay. What's her name?
Maria Ozawa. Are you grabbing your phone now? And you want to stop the interview for a second?
Let me check.
Wait. Let's do that. Let's do that. Why not?
Did she get into details about her experiences, like behind the scenes and the reality of actually being in the porn industry? Because
no,
I know.
Not so much about the details, but really it's like just sucking it up. When directors she was on the casting couch, like get undressed. She just does.
Yeah.
I mean, she was a neophyte, obviously. She could not be, you know, onion skinned, or she can't be like sensitive about it because she knew what she was getting into. So she knew that, okay, these were the things that I had to do.
I mean, like when it comes to like the adult industry, I mean, I've seen documentaries and research about what it's and interviews with about what it's really like. And honestly, there's a dark side to it.
Oh,
you know,
there's
a lot of abuse. There's a lot of manipulation.
Yeah.
There's a lot of younger women who, you know, are in bad situations or don't have a home. And then somehow they get coerced or taken advantage of.
Yeah.
So it would have been interesting to get into that and ask. I mean, from what you're saying, it was her decision. She wanted fame. She knew what she wanted.
Yes.
So she went after it. But it would be cool to talk to someone who can share some insights on
who had an experience.
Bad experience. Because
you know what? You know who would be the best person to ask? Stan.
Why?
Because
Shout out to Stan.
How's Bailey Ray? Wait.
Why? Oh, okay. Okay. Is there another side of Stan that he's, don't know?
No, but other than that, I mean, Stan, who's also a really good friend of mine, he could, you know, conversations about the adult entertainment industry in general could go from, you know, really icky... really icky right. to very intellectual in a minute about the porn industry, but not just the talents per se, but really what happens behind it. And he's into like, he likes watching documentaries and all that. And he actually introduced me to
on Netflix. They have like
yes.
a bunch of documentaries. What's yes. it called? After porn.
Porn. And there good was another one too. There was another one too, like how cam girl turned talent agent, how like what she deals with, like recruiting new girls and all that, and how she wants to protect them, how she teaches them to monetize all content, stuff like that. And I can totally appreciate that.
Well, you should connect this with Maria. I'd love to interview her.
All right. Wait, let me see what I can do about that, Khaled. Let me see.
I'll fly to Manila. I'll go on vacation there and, you know, two right? in one, get an interview. Radio is huge in the Philippines. Mm. And I mean, sometimes here you'd go anywhere, sometimes at restaurants and wherever, and you can hear the kitchen staff and
yeah,
they're listening to radio.
Yeah.
To Kapayan Radio. Tell us about Kapayan Radio and your role in that.
Yeah, well, it was December 2018 when I finally decided to come live here with my husband. It was a whole like back and forth. Do I want to peel myself away from my life in Manila and come to Qatar? January of the following year, 2019, there was a promo poster on social media that was being passed around. And so that's how I found out that Kapayan Radio, which hasn't opened, was looking for radio jocks. And so I went, did a whole interview, did the whole shebang, whole nine yards. It was actually a panel interview of six people and then me.
Wow, that's intense.
I know, like it was so reminiscent of my thesis defense. I was like, yeah. Okay. Like, but I got a kick out of it.
Radio, do you refer to yourself as a radio jock or host or DJ? What do you refer yourself?
It could be
to?
Different from, I guess, place to place or country to country, whichever is.
So with DJ Chloe?
Because okay. Nowadays when you say DJ, people would think you're a club DJ because, you know, yeah. music festivals in the recent years, okay. right? I mean, left and right, wherever you go, you'd have like DJs. Like, so it's a radio jock or radio presenter or radio host would be more like it. Just so, you know, people won't be confused where you work, club or radio. You know, or media. I got the job and I was with Kabayan Radio for a year. You know, funnily enough, it was when I was a part of Kabayan Radio that somebody caught a whiff of how I do things and how I present. And that's when, you know, I got invited to work to QBS or at QBS.
So you were like headhunted.
Right? I was offered.
So someone heard you on Kabayan Radio.
Yeah, and thought.
And then invited you to QBS
yes,
Radio.
Yes, would you be interested to work with work at QBS
How'd they
Radio?
Get in touch with you?
I think through Huda, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, through Huda.
All right. Do you guys have the, because I know in QBS it's very restricted on what you can say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, precisely.
Was it like that in Kapayan? I mean, coming from Manila, where I assume you can talk like about
more,
all sorts. Yeah,
yeah, more candid.
About, yeah, more candid. You can talk about all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
How was Kapayan Radio? Like, were you able to express yourself in
yeah,
that way?
Yeah, but see, the thing is, you have to, as a presenter, as a radio presenter, you have to be profoundly discerning of where you're broadcasting from. So we're in the Middle East. Definitely, it goes without saying that you have to know the culture, the do's and don'ts. In a matter of speaking, like what can you say and not say on air? Because again, you hold this massive responsibility being on the mic. And what's the word I'm looking for? Aware.
Of course.
I mean, you can't just spaz out. You can't like, you know, you're not supposed to say.
Definitely. I mean, that was my experience when I was in radio. It's like constantly self-censoring myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I personally don't like that because, I mean, growing up in New Zealand, you can just
it's
express
different.
Yourself. Radio. I mean, radio, the stuff they would talk about on radio, it's just unfiltered.
Right? Oh my gosh.
I heard like interviews with a rehabilitated arsonist who used to burn buildings down and all sorts of crazy stuff. Yeah.
Wait, that's a lot to unpack. Rehabilitated arsonist.
Who was convicted and went to jail, did his time. And now he's a recovered
did he write
man.
A book or something like that?
No.
Or now is a
I have no idea how he ended
okay.
up on there. But
like a motivational speaker
yeah,
or something.
Yeah, they were just asking him like why were you an arsonist? What was attractive about it? And you know, and he was just like telling people
oh, wow.
don't do what I did. Don't burn buildings.
don't burn things.
Yeah. Public service announcement for the kids.
Oh wait, See, I mean, it's great how these presenters turned around something what could be really, really dark and bleak into something could, that, you know, can be labeled as a public service that announcement.
Makes a good radio host. So
it's here. You can't do that, especially with, you know, a Qatar Media Corporation radio station.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. So, here it's very, what's the word?
It's taboo.
Yeah, it's very filtered down. Like what you hear, what you see, it's very filtered down.
Yeah.
On the episode that I did with Chris, but a lot of people enjoyed this. I got a DM inviting me. I don't know why, but I get a lot of Illuminati invitations.
No.
Yes, I do.
Wait, wait. And with that, you mean what kind of invitation?
Invitations to the annual feast. These are obviously scammers.
Because
Chris was like, either the Illuminati is not doing well, so they're just desperately DMing people.
I thought they had Tobey Maguire in their high roller and a high roller list.
They're trying.
Why would they invite you?
They're trying to get Khaled Sultan, and I'm just like, you know. So I got another one.
Okay.
I'm gonna read this. I just noticed this today. It was in the hidden requests.
Okay, what does it say?
I don't know why they find me. Greeting from the Illuminati Brotherhood. This is a special invitation for you to become part of the world's greatest order. A spiritual identification call is an honor. To receive one is a privilege. An uplifting and strengthening in both your spiritual and physical life is what the Illuminati offers. The new bright order awaits your total proclamation of this great offer. This is a millennium recruitment fest for chosen... Fest or...
Feast?
Maybe he meant feast. This is a millennium recruitment fest for chosen crafted individuals. Show your acceptance by the word yes.
Holy,
here you go, proof.
Guacamole.
She's seeing it right now.
Man, Mr. David Bridges just sent you this, huh? With 438 followers and 9 posts. How can you not believe a guy like that? I mean,
I believe him.
Oh my gosh. Are you ready to be indoctrinated into a cult or something?
Oh, I've been ready. I feel like this is my calling. I feel.
No. Join and then come back and report to us. Like what happens after you say yes to these things?
You know what? I should engage with him because the last guy, I just blocked him
you
know, I read it and blocked him because I didn't want to engage.
And he didn't have the time of day?
Yeah.
Something to do this month of December in Qatar. Join the feast. Oh, man.
When you do it, like when you do a job, whatever you do, a profession, because at the end of the day, you know, radio is your job. It's your career.
Yeah.
It's important to have things outside, hobbies outside that you enjoy. And it seems like you're obsessed with scuba diving.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
How did that happen? I just want to mention something. When I went scuba diving for the first time, it was with Chloe. You know, it was a good experience. It can be a little scary clearing the mask or, you know, if I get bubbles in the mask, I freak out.
Well, yeah, you're not the first to say that.
Because like visibility, the second time we went scuba diving, there was less visibility. That already made me a little bit nervous.
Yeah.
Like when there's no visibility, because as we were going, and I know you've heard this before, everything was going wrong with my equipment. Everything was going wrong the second time. The first time was better. And everybody goes down. And as soon as I was the last person to go down. So as soon as I'm going down, water gets into my mask. I freak out. I press the button and eject back up to the surface.
Yes.
And then I'm like, okay, what do I do? And I'm like, okay, I'm going to try again. I looked down and the visibility was so bad, so I couldn't see.
Yeah.
And like in the back of my head, I was like freaking out. Like, what if I go down and there's nobody there? You know?
But we were all waiting for you.
But I didn't know. Like, I was just worried. Like, it's irrational. But like, imagine you're looking down. You can't even see the surface.
Yeah.
In the back of my head, I'm like, okay, should I? I was going to swim back to shore.
You were?
I was actually going to swim back to shore because it was a little freak out.
Okay.
But then I'm like, okay, I'm sure someone's going to show up.
And I did.
You did show up. Yeah. You and Gilbert did show up.
Yeah.
He was a little annoyed. I don't know.
because the other guys were waiting, like, and they were the first timers at the time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Chris was a first timer.
Oh, yeah. Well, Chris was.
The others were pretty good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But so you're really into scuba diving. How important is scuba diving for you? And how does that help you, you know, with managing stress or kind of detaching yourself from the outside world? Because people say scuba diving is one of those things where you're in another world, you're underwater, so you completely forget all your troubles.
That's true. At the time, it wasn't a significant decision. It wasn't a conscious decision for me to get into it and become licensed. But this was in 2009 when, again, because of radio, we interviewed this one person who was an owner of a resort. Okay. And she said, you know what? You should try scuba diving. I can hook you up with an intro dive, just like what you did. I went, you know, being the adventurous spirit that I am. I went to Mindoro. It was about 5 hours away from Manila via boat. And I did the intro dive and I loved it. wow, this experience is life-changing and I want to do more of it. So I decided to become licensed. And my then boyfriend made it so easy for me because the equipment, they don't come cheap. You know this for a fact, right?
Yeah,
like
very expensive.
Mask, yeah. The fins and everything. And my ex was happy to oblige to be my sponsor and bought stuff for me. And I thought, okay, let's get certified. And to this day, I love scuba diving because, like you said, it transports you to this world wherein you're a visitor. And it's not where your common motor skills are acceptable. I mean, you have to move a certain way so that you can blend with everyone that's underneath with a fish.
Yeah.
So you come into another creature's house and you have to abide by, you know, the physics of the whole, you know, the whole experience.
And they even look at you. I mean, the fish.
Yes, they
look
do.
At you. They're like,
they do,
who are
don't
you?
They?
What are you?
They come to you and kind of look at you, yeah, your face, like, okay, who are you? What are you doing here in my house? You know,
you feel like a baby. I mean, the first time I felt like a baby, I didn't know how to walk. I wasn't kicking apparently with the fins. Like,
and you're an athletic guy. You know how to work your body.
Relatively, yes.
At that moment, you know that you're not the master. You just know that you are at the bottom of the barrel, and it's liberating. And it's kind of like being an astronaut. You learn how to float eventually to become neutrally buoyant. So it's easier to see what's around you.
I mean, there's definitely a huge learning curve when it comes to scuba diving.
Yeah, there is.
Definitely a huge learning curve.
Yeah.
But it's good to try new things. Sticking with the theme of the podcast,
yeah,
you know, the only reoccurring question on this podcast is, what's your advice on how to live a better life?
How many, should I just say one?
It's up to you. You can say whatever you want.
Okay, maybe, because I like listicles.
Okay.
Like 15 ways to make sure that she comes. Or,
it sounds
like a
blog post from a magazine.
A listicle. Okay, so maybe 3 points. And I've said this in a recent social media thing that we're coming up with over at QBS. Shout out to Shema and Rokeya, by the way, very hardworking women.
Shout out.
I think number one is your cup is never full. At whatever age you are, don't stop learning because there's so much to learn and there's so many things to try. Just because you reach a certain age doesn't mean that you cannot break away from your mold anymore as whatever. If you're a nurse, if you're a doctor or a lawyer and you've had that title for so long, it doesn't mean that life is just point A to point B and that's it. It's not linear. It could be sideways. So explore those sides, explore those doorways. So just keep learning because to me, that's one of the things that makes life interesting is that you never stop being curious, especially with, you know, if you have a spouse, if you're in a loving relationship, then that's something that anyone would enjoy. Secondly would be, I feel like at the end of the day, it's not who you are, it's who you know. That has taught me a very valuable lesson of being likable, not spreading animosity, not being indifferent, just simply be friendly. You don't have to be friends with everyone. You don't have to like form friendships right away, but at least
be
accommodating.
Treat people
with respect. Exactly. Be nice and pay forward. You know, if somebody was nice to you today, return the favor, but also be nice to the next person. To this day, it's something that I also teach the children in our family, that if I help you now, there would come a time when you need to help another one or need to help another relative or even your younger siblings, and be that person who will help, because remember that today I'm helping you. And thirdly would be gracious and be skillful enough to learn how to take rejections. Some people are such sore losers. You know, like, okay.
What do you mean? Like when it comes to...
like losing, for instance. You know how in sports, like in BJJ, for example, you lose, what do? Do you hate on each other? Do you like, okay, I'm going to cancel you?
No, never.
Do you get canceled?
No.
Right?
It is what it is. And as long as the other person doesn't injure you, you're all good.
Be quite a sportsman. You know, take rejections as a learning opportunity. Just move forward. I mean, take a hint at a certain point. If you've been getting all the no's, then maybe there's something to it. Take it with a grain of salt. Maybe you need to improve, you know, this particular, if you're talented already, then just maybe improve some more and take notes.
What are your final thoughts?
My final thoughts would include having to say thank you for having me on your podcast.
That's a pleasure.
Because I had so much fun.
Yeah,
whatever makes it to the final edit, then I would be very happy with that, of course. But just the experience, just hanging around here, talking about past experiences concerning work and life. And to anyone who's listening right now, chase after your dreams. I know it's very after school special. special for me to say this, but really it works. It has worked for me. It's quite my own personal mantra. Just be a kid. Be a kid at heart. Stay a kid at heart. I mean, you can be whatever age you are, but just be curious and stay a kid.
Definitely. And I will include your social media and your podcast in the show notes. I feel like my butt hurts now from sitting down on the floor.
Hang on, I need to change position. Oh, damn. Okay.
All right,
we're good.
You've been listening to Curated Advice on Better Living. It's our passion to interview guests on their experiences to bring you different perspectives on personal development, on everything from healthy habits to mindset to relationships to functional movement and biohacking. We hope you've enjoyed the show, and we hope you've gotten some information that can change your mindset. Make sure to like, rate, and review the show, and we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, we'll leave you with this from Bruce Lee.
Be formless, shapeless, like water. Now you put water into a cup, it becomes the cup. You put water into a bottle, it becomes the bottle. You put it in a teapot, it becomes the teapot. Now water can flow or it can crash. Be water, my friend.